950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt, Brett, Anna here today. You know, Brett, do we has anyone been able to get close? Have we heard any details of the town halls with the albino leech that is Erik Paulsen?
I have not heard any details on those. All right.
He was meeting at 10,
happening today.
10 a.m. Hamel. I imagine that was a crowd friendly one. The Chanhassen, I imagine that's probably going to be borderline. But the if you've got cameras, take them with you to Brooklyn Park, the Brooklyn Park Community Center, 7 p.m. tonight. Erik Paulsen unplugged.
I think that's the official title of it, too.
If you like to go see the albino leech, by all means, you know, ask him about, I don't know such things as, why do you want to rip apart all the health care? Why do you like pre-existing conditions? Why are you kind of a jerk? I mean, it's up to you about how you want to ask these things, you know, but, you know, you can ask at your will and your leisure.
But I'm sure he will mention at one point he did co-sponsor a bill with Amy Klobuchar.
Paulsen, I co-sponsored a bill one time with Amy Klobuchar. I'm sure that's going to come on up. Did you see the ads that are running on websites for him right now? They are, you know, he's been awarded Healthcare Politician of the Year by some made-up group. It's a made-up thing that, you know, it just, I can't quite figure out why. If you're going to do something like this, make up anything, you know, geologist of the year or, you know, world's greatest, well, we didn't get world's greatest dad, but, you know, porn scene of the year. Why are you short-sighting yourself with if you're going to make up something laughable, I mean, seriously, go for the gusto. You know, yes, sous chef of the year, something like that. I mean, you really could go for it. I mean, the albino leech, I like the idea of, you know, porn scene of the year for albino leech. I mean, if you're going to go big, go bold, you know what I mean?
But brought in the best hot dish to the congressional bake-off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that hot dish, you know where that's going. Seriously, there is an ad running around. It's some fake group. I have no idea who this group is. But it's a banner ad that they're running. He's won healthcare. It's some Republican made up group or some corporate executive group that's awarded him. Because no one, Erik Paulsen, he doesn't want you to have healthcare for inexpensive rates. He wants to jack up your prices and he wants to bring back stuff like pre-existing conditions. And yeah. That doesn't seem like the healthcare legislator of the year. It seems more of the jackass of the year, but that's just me. I mean, you know, I personally think it's abhorrent and ungodly and anti-Christian and just disgusting to look at a three-year-old and say, Billy, you can't have cancer surgery because you already had it, henceforth pre-existing condition. But if you're willing to live in a life of bankruptcy, we might heal you. I don't believe that that's anything good, but apparently Erik Paulsen does. And apparently stances like that get you healthcare professional of the year. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I got into an interesting discussion this morning with a person on Twitter, and a good person. And she basically feels as if I cross the line. But the fact that I am no good, I am just as bad as anyone else because I sometimes dwell in the world of absolutes, as she puts it forward. And I kind of said, well, no. I don't draw in the world of absolutes. I understand that people throw their hands in the air. But this is by design, that the Republican Party themselves, what they have tried to do is convince everyone that something of the nature that when the Democrat, you know, does something, it's just as bad as whatever any Republican does anything. So they're both equal. It's the child chompless lollipop versus the axe murderer, you know, thing. And that they're both criminals, Matt. Come on. They're both criminals. And it's so ludicrous that even the Republicans have gotten to the point where they will label stuff like tan suits and latte salutes and sleeveless dresses and stuff like that as actual violations, actual, oh my God, how dare they, to on the same level as colluding with Russia to steal the 2016 election or using the presidency to basically profiteer for yourself and your family. You know, stuff like little things like that. I mean, and let alone the racism that we don't get into necessarily, the failure in Puerto Rico, the fact that the guys lost 1,500 children from immigrant families. I mean, things like this are not the same thing as a tan suit, but their goal is to try to get you to say, well, they both sides do it. I mean, it's the whole thing that we used to criticize Stein for all the time, and we still can criticize Stein for at times, because, you know, it's where they want the country to go with, because they can't get away with stuff if we all equate everything as equally bad. Does that make sense? That, give you a great example, because it goes both ways. It's not only inflating every minor thing that the Democrats do into this massive crisis. Benghazi is the consummate example. 8 investigations into Benghazi. They never found anything wrong. They kept investigating it over and over again, even though they themselves had said nothing bad happened there. But so there's the inflating of stuff that the Democrats do. But on the same side, it's when Republicans, I mean, for God's sakes, the first real scandal of the presidency was basically early October of 2016. We found out that Trump University was a complete fraud. If the Democrats would have had Clinton University and it was discovered it was that level of fraud, they would be marching. They'd still be marching students into congressional hearing rooms to talk about how Hillary Clinton, how, you know, how she wronged you and took your money and didn't give you anything in return. It's the fact that when they're really bad things have happened under Trump that we don't look at them because, well, they both sides do it. This is wrong. I mean, we can't allow that standard. You know, Republicans trying to make things bad like tan suits or you know, bowing too deeply or chewing gum, for God's sakes. I mean, those are the things they're at. We are looking at from the left, we're outraged at stuff like starting wars under false pretenses, torpedoing the Wall Street markets, for God's sakes, purposely. The Puerto Rico response, the 1,500 missing children, the constant racism which emotes from this. These are much larger issues, and we should condemn them. But I also, her argument was that, well, that's national stuff. Locally, they're not that bad. To which, as I looked at my computer and kind of, what are you talking about? The Republicans in the state of Minnesota are just as evil as the Republicans on the national level. And don't get me wrong, this is not saying there's no bad Democrats. There are bad Democrats. I'm not saying there aren't any good Republicans. There are a handful of good Republicans still left. There are very few. Not very many of them have the guts to stand out and speak out against the monstrosity that's in the White House. I mean, the real failure, and I'll talk to Stein about this, the real failure of this current time is not the presidency. It's the legislative branch for holding the president accountable. There's a lot of Republicans that don't do their job, but there are still a handful left that are somewhat decent people. No, in the state of Minnesota, there are a tremendous amount of bad people in the Republican Party. Let's just run through a few things. We talked about the ag bill. They just passed an ag bill where that unless Governor Dayton signed it, they basically said the nitrate standards for groundwater in the state of Minnesota, the regulations that were put in place to make sure those nitrates are not too high so the groundwater doesn't get poisoned, they're going to be removed. That was a strong-arming technique that the legislature tried to put onto Dayton. Dayton did veto the ag bill. But what kind of freaking Bond villain stuff is that? You better sign the bill, Mr. Dayton, or else we poison the water for all of Minnesota. Seriously, what kind of Bond villain crap is that? And that wasn't one guy on the Ag Committee. That was the entire Ag Committee. And it was the entire Republican leadership in the Minnesota House and in the Minnesota Senate. And it was every Republican that voted for this bill. They all knew that was in there. Democrats might not have. I mean, the way that these Republicans chuck a bill at the Democrats and say, vote now! It's you can say some Democrats might have known about it, but the reality is all the Republicans knew that was in that bill. Every one of them. The bonding bill that the governor signed did not have any transportation funding. We're in a state of 5.5 million people, 3.5 of which over half the population lives in Minneapolis, St. Paul. It is a major metropolitan city. You have to have transit. And not one Republican got upset. Even the Republicans that represent the cities got upset about the fact that there was not one dime for transit money in that budget. That's wildly irresponsible. And by the way, Democrats, you should hang every Metro, every Republican on that little hook, okay? You know, they went along with it. Every one of them went along with it. They all did. The hands-free cell phone bill, my God, you had Republicans. This is a bill that 80% of the state of Minnesota endorses. 80%. And many Republicans champion this bill, but they pulled it probably because they wanted to try to use it at a later date to try to get something else from the governor, a concession. So when the Democrats pulled the vote to the House, every single Republican voted against it. You're telling me that there wasn't some sort of meeting, email, text that went around saying, do not vote for this bill. Even when it was people that are like, no, I want to vote for this bill. They all voted against it. I don't care how they are when you see them in a parade. I don't care that you ran into the guy having your biscuits and gravy at the diner. I don't care that you live 3 or 4 houses down for you. This is a pattern of systemic, I don't give a rat's ass again about Minnesotans. And that's what it is. They don't care. They're evil. They've got this evil thing incarnate in them. Gun legislation? Oh, for God's sakes. That wasn't just the Public Safety Committee. That was every Republican saying, for God's sakes, do not allow a gun regulation bill get to the Minnesota House floor. Do not make me have to vote on an issue that 90% of the state of Minnesotans want. They were begging. That was a coordinated campaign by the Republicans to prevent that from getting out there. How about the omnibus bill, the omnibus prime, the 900-page bill that they gave to the Democrats at 7:30 and demanded they vote on it at 10, 1,000 pages, basically? Do you think that they didn't know what was in that bill? They knew what was in that bill a week earlier, probably 95% of it. They all knew what was in that bill. They all knew what was in there. They knew all the dirty tricks, all the snafus, all the lies that were in that bill. They knew everything that was in that bill for a week and a half, at least, not just Kurt Dowd and Joyce Pepin, but the entire Republican Party. They all reviewed it. They wanted to make sure not only the stuff they wanted was in it, but stuff that Democrats wanted was not in it. They wanted to make sure their dirty tricks language was in the book there as well. They knew this. They didn't want not only the Democrats in the House and Senate to see this bill, They didn't want any Minnesotan to see this bill. They didn't. They didn't want you to see it. That's why they waited till the end of the session, threw it out there and said, vote now. Does that sound like a decent human being to you? Or does it sound like someone with an evil agenda? The consummate example. And most of these Democrats, or most of these the Republicans and Democrats that are in the House and the Senate were there for this. Remember when we were trying to get a special session to help the Iron Range workers who had been unemployed for a long time just get the money? We have a pool of money in the state for extended unemployment for workers. This is why the money was set aside. It was set aside for this condition. Iron Range workers were unemployed. They couldn't pay their bills. We had the money. All we had to do was extend it. Kurt Dowd refused to have a special session. Promised the first day of new session he would put it into place. It was 2 weeks into session before they finally brought a bill up, and the Republicans demanded a tax credit for major corporations before they would open up the bucket of money we had set aside for unemployed workers. They demanded a tax cut, and even after the Democrats caved on that issue, 17 Republicans voted to not give needy families on the Iron Range the needed aid that the state had already set aside for them. 17 of them. And by the way, if you're a Democrat, you should be plastering the 8th district with that billboard. 17 Republicans refused to help you. Refused. I get it. You don't want to look at this whole situation and say, oh, well, you know, one side's bad. But don't come back at me and say, both sides do it. They don't. They do not. And I don't give a rat's caboose how nice the guy is outside of the House and the Senate. Their actions speak for themselves. They are corrupt to the soul. They do not care about Minnesotans. They do not care about their constituents. They only care about themselves. And they're banking on you being foolish enough to ignore the reality around you and just throw your hands in the air and say, well, both sides are bad. No, they're not. Both sides are not the same. The Republicans are a bunch of corrupt jackasses. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. I'll talk about Dayton's veto, and then we'll get to Stein coming up here in just a little bit. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is having their annual service special. Every stove, insert, and fireplace needs maintenance. Get it done now and save $40. You'll be ready to fire up before the cold weather hits again. From 94, take the Riverside Avenue exit and go east to 2901 Franklin Avenue. See the Twin Cities' most diverse selection of clean-burning, reliable, and environmentally smart stoves and fireplaces.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, owner of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Have you ever watched your dog or cat curl up in front of a fire, like a Norman Rockwell painting brought to life? It's primordial the way fire touches both the animal and the human. We have the equipment and the know-how to supply, install, and maintain stoves and fireplaces. Call us at 612-338-6606 and take advantage of our spring cleaning and maintenance special. We are online at woodlandstoves.com. The mission and the passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. My first Toyota love was the RAV4 back in 1998. When I was traveling in February, I needed a rental car, and I jumped at the opportunity to drive one again. The RAV4 is fantastic with all the bells and whistles you need, and it has all the modern safety features to keep us safe, comfort as we vacationed. It fit all five of us and our luggage with ease. I was able to revisit my first love. Now, you can fall in love for yourself by test driving a RAV4 today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
Hi, this is Matt from the Green Home Doctors. Do your ceilings show signs of unwanted moisture? Is your home warmer than you want? This means your insulation needs a tune-up and you're leaking expensive air conditioning in the summer. Green Home Doctors analyze your home with specialized equipment and prescribe a remedy that will save you money and save you energy, no matter what the season. Take advantage of rebates from Xcel Energy and CenterPoint Energy and make your home healthier today. Visit greenhomedr.com.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We heard back from a caller. Apparently in the Brooklyn Park meeting, only 100 people get in, and of course, it's by random choice. I am going to guess. Now, reminder about Eric Paulson. Eric Paulson tried to run. That's what the caller said, right?
Yeah. Only 100 tickets available, and they're supposedly random. So, of course, none of his neighbors or family members will probably be among those 100.
Not at all. Now, it should be reminded that Eric Paulson, a few years ago, had his grand debate with his opponent took place at the Interlochen Golf Course.
Yeah, it was Interlochen.
And they basically said it was free to get in, but you had to pay for lunch, which was like $150 for the lunch. And then all the questions had to get screened by Paulson's people before they could be asked in public.
And no media was allowed either.
And no media was allowed in there either. That's Eric Paulson's track record. I personally would love to see some footage of a massive crowd outside of the Brooklyn Park Community Center chanting, come out, you coward, and talk to us.
Well, I think it's going to be like the Jason Lewis meeting, too, because Mike interviewed a guy who actually got into the meeting where they had a seat limit, too, but they said, like, it was only half full.
Yeah.
Well, so it's probably going to be the same thing at Eric Paulson's.
Oh, I guarantee you there's, like, okay. Can you imagine what their screening process is? What's the color of their skin, perchance? Is it lily white? Lily White wearing a MAGA hat? Get him on in here. Little less than Lily White? Oh, I'm sorry. We're full. We can't let you in. I have no idea. It would be just speculation. Is one of the questioners Zik Nerwas? I don't know. Hi there. I'm a random constituent named Zik Nerwas, and I want to ask a question. I'm Era Sanderson. That's
I'm nicknamed T-Bone Palenti.
T-Palenti or Pim Talenti is my name. I have no idea. I have no idea who this other person is. We can only guess what they're screening. I have no idea. We're just speculating. You know, we like the shenanigans like that when we say these things. It would be great to have a nice protest outside of there saying, demanding him come out and talk to the crowd without screening because, you know, he's kind of a coward. Is he actually in town? Is he doing this over the phone? Do you walk in?
I'm picturing a hologram of Eric Paulson.
Is it like one of those? There's going to be a speakerphone in the middle of the room. Hi there. I am calling from the International Space Station. David is calling from San Francisco. Welcome on in, David. Thanks for holding.
Oh, no trouble, man. Hey, you know, a couple of different things. You heard about Trump giving his dumb speech, trying to pit Americans, see who is the worst animal.
Well, you know, that was the Nashville speech you just did. I mean, when you say dumb speech from Trump, you got to narrow it down just a smidge. But right. You're talking about the one in Nashville.
Well, actually, think about it. In terms of propaganda, it was clever trickery because he's trying to convince. You remember how America was. We didn't need some tyrant, some king to tell us what to do. We're proud Americans. We can think for ourselves, thank you, and we have some taxation with representation. And we won't bother listening to some master racist tell us what to believe. And so now Trump goes down there and he says, oh, these people are animals. And then he's going to try to get various people to outwit each other in who's really an animal.
Well, and
so he's pitting Americans against Americans to totally defeat the principle of we're proud and we can stand on our own two feet and not listen to some master race crap.
Well, and David, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. The story, Jerry Jones actually had a phone call with Trump that actually was part of a an under oath testimony that Jerry Jones did, a deposition, where Jones admitted that Trump called him up and said, this issue is good for me. These are good issues for my base because I can vilify the African-American players. Now, I'm paraphrasing this. I'm vilify the African-American players, and it plays well with my base. Trust me when I say this. Trump is not trying to solve any racial issues. He is trying to pour as much gasoline over these fires as possible because this is what fires up his base. In that Nashville speech, he went after Jay-Z. He went after Mexicans. He went after, you know, calling immigrants, you know, he slightly clarified his comments, just said MS-13 gang members are animals. But, you know, he's already felt that, you know, said in some pretty atrocious things about the migrants coming in, the just not the gang members, the people are just trying to come in. I mean, he's a truly a horrible guy. And so everything he says should be said. Everything he's doing right now is trying to incite racial violence. And that's the case. Quickly here, before I get to Stein, Dayton signed the $1.5 billion public works bonding bill, saying the considerable needs of aging roads, bridges, and other facilities around the state outweighed the serious concerns he had with what was in or what was left out of the bill. The DFL governor said the Republican-crafted bonding package, which included $825 million for general obligation bonds, pulls the rest of the funding from other sources, provides help to many worthwhile projects. And it does. There are a lot of worthwhile projects in the bill. There was one single line item veto. A $1 million grant for the analysis of water quality regulations, which he called an unnecessary redundancy. It should be mentioned there were some other bills that were vetoed. The governor did repeat his criticism of lawmakers. Republicans picked an arbitrary target of $825 million and padded the bill with money raiding from other sources, which they did a lot of. The governor vetoed four other bills, including one that would have restructured the Metropolitan Council, one that would have made people liable if they were associated with plans to protest or interfere with critical infrastructure like oil pipelines. So he did violate that bill. Another bill would have imposed changes on the state's problem plagued new vehicle licensing system, but the governor said the legislature did not provide funding to make those changes. Dayton also vetoed a bill that would have changed state law related to water quality standards in areas that produce wild rice. He issued an executive order setting up a new wild rice task force that he will offer recommendations by the end of the year. So he stopped another end-around attempt to basically get rid of water quality standards for wild rice and some other things. I will say I'm a little disappointed in the bonding bill getting passed because it didn't really, I mean, once again, these are Republicans who in a state with the 16th largest metro area in the country did not put one dime of money in it for transportation, not one single dime. And everything else, it's raided money from other funds. I mean, once again, thank God for Governor Dayton. Do you know how many bills Republicans have passed where they demanded major restructuring of organizations or fixes in organizations and they never supplied one damn dime of funding to do so? Governor Dayton's always been consistent that you can't make these changes without the funds. But, you know, this bonding bill, I was a little bothered by it. They did take out some of the more obscene elements of it that were really pandering to the Republicans and their corporate Uber lords. But overall, he did pass it. I guess they can feel like they got one or two victories out of this. The pension bill, the bonding bill got passed, but the omnibus prime and the tax bill, plus all these other, you know, we don't like the certain minority groups protesting and in certain ways bills. I guess that's a fair way to describe it. I mean, really, I mean, if I'm just an outside observer, it sure looks like that's what's going on. Those all got vetoed, and so long, sayonara. Time to take back the Minnesota House, time to take the governor's office, and time to take the Senate because Fishbox seat is now gone. There could be a one-vote majority for the Democrats. Guaranteed, this year is everything in the state of Minnesota. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Take a break here. Stein's going to join us when we do come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
The 4th Annual Minneapolis St. Paul Mini Maker Faire is a festival of creativity showcasing the projects of local builders, scientists, gamers, artists, and makers. The Makers Faire is on June 2nd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Minnesota State Fair Grandstand. Curious about robots? We've got them. Want to learn how to carve wood or weld? Covered. Feel an urge to upcycle odd materials into art? Get inspired. Explore electricity, ride a human-powered Ferris wheel, and discover local resources for makers of all kinds. It's a great day of family fun with interactive exhibits and to maker demonstrations appropriate for all ages, including a special make-and-take area for kids. Plus, there will be live music, street performers, and presentations. The Minneapolis St. Paul Mini Maker Fair is June 2nd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds Grandstand. Discounted tickets available at msp.makerfaire.com. That's msp.makerfaire.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for maker profiles and updates on what to see at this year's fair.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And Jake Duroff.
We're the hosts of the all-new Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Steve, what are we going to talk about this week?
We're going to be discussing Mortgage 101, the very basics of mortgage, whether it's your first home or your 100th home. We're going to be discussing ways where you can save money and a lot of headaches.
Check us out for more information or email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for showers and storms today with a high near 81. Tonight, more thunderstorms with a low around 66. Thursday, partly sunny with a high around 83. And Friday, sunny with a high near 80. Stay cool this summer by having a Green Home Doctor weatherize your home. They're passionate about the environment both in and outside your home. The Green Home Doctor doesn't use subcontractors, and they even help you get rebates from Xcel and CenterPoint. So get started towards a more comfortable home by visiting greenhomedr.com.
Now, seriously. Take back the, I mean, guys, you got to stay motivated here. And, okay, maybe a quick little pep session here, okay? We're going to have a convention. There's going to be an endorsement that comes on down, all right? And your candidate might not get endorsed. Fine. If they decide to go to the primary, they decide to go to the primary. Tim Pawlenty's terrified of the convention on the Republican side. Henceforth, he's just going to skip the convention and go straight to the primary because he already knows Johnson would beat him on the endorsement. But on the Democratic side, we're going to have a fair race here. We're going to say, you know what, who's the endorsed candidate? As much as it might hurt you, whoever comes out of this, if you know, it's pretty overwhelming. One candidate on these races is endorsed. You know, it's not my place to dictate whether or not someone should run for the primary or not, but we need to unify and understand that just because someone gets an endorsement and someone doesn't mean one candidate is wrong, one candidate is right. It just means we have an endorsed candidate and we have a non-endorsed candidate and we're going to have a primary, okay? So let's make sure we keep things in check. I've seen a heck of a lot of these mysterious people trying to stir up anger between the two. I have seen a ton of that. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Restaurant of the week, all of them. That's right. With the short week, we're featuring all the restaurants this week. Go to EatLocalMinnesota.com. Find a restaurant that you like, locally owned, many of them locally sourced. You get a great local meal and the money stays local. It's EatLocalMinnesota.com. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, TotallyIowa.com, IowaWatch.org is the public service show, and he's joining us from the Palatial Broadcasting Complex of KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hey, Jeff.
So, read any good tweets lately, Matt?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, do you want to know the truth? You want to know the truth? If not for Trump.
Yeah.
If not for Trump, Roseanne Barr's statement would have controlled the news cycle for 3 months. There would have been an incredible amount more outrage, but right now, as it stands, it seems like it's already starting to, you know, Twitter out, and by the end of the week, that will be all that. What will be? Oh, when did that Roseanne Barr thing happen again? Oh, that right, that was only on Tuesday. I mean, because of the nature of our current White House resident, a lot of this stuff loses its impact as far as longevity goes.
Well, and he makes it about him.
Oh, of course.
Because most advisors would have said, let's say it's President Matt McNeil, and I'm your chief advisor. Boy, isn't that just a nightmare, that whole scenario. But let's say it's President McNeil. That part's fine. But if I said to you, Mr. President, do not touch this one.
Nope.
Run like you're on fire. Leave this alone. Don't go anywhere near this. Just let it be. Because they're going to try to tie her to you, and you don't want that. So what does he do? He embraces it by demanding, where's my apology from ABC? Mm-hmm. Not considering that he's a sitting office holder who was elected, as opposed to a private citizen who was the target of the other attacks. I mean, there is no equivalency whatsoever. And then, you know, here's Sarah Huckabee Sanders coming out, just backfilling all of it, pointing out that there's a double standard. Well, there may be, but not the one they're saying.
Definitely not the one they're saying. But, I mean, also, I wasn't planning on starting with this, but it does highlight something. I mean, last night, yeah, he was in Nashville, and he goes after the Mexican border wall, which very quickly, you know, the Mexican government's like, oh, heck no, we're not doing this. And he knows this. He knows that's not going to happen. And he also, you know, goes after Jay-Z and, you know, the stereotypical, what racists like to refer to as uppity black man. But it was a story about Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys football team owner, who was deposed in a conversation where he had a conversation with Trump on the phone, and he was asked about it, so he had to spill the beans. And he said Trump felt that the kneeling NFL players was a good issue for him because it riled up his base. And so when you look at all this stuff, I mean, the insanity of basically backing up Roseanne Barr after she says something unapologetically racist, the going after Mexico because he knows that behind the scenes he can say, well, that's my public persona. Behind the scenes, I never meant to say that, and thinks he can smooth that over. Or whether it's the NFL, where he basically doesn't really care about the national anthem. He just basically wants to create African-American villains that he can fire up his base with. I mean, that is this guy's primary core objective, is to basically use racial tension in this country to his maximum advantage.
I'm going to deviate slightly from what you said, and I'm going to broaden it, that it is the goal of this president to use whatever means possible for electoral advantage. This is the guy who used to talk about winning before Charlie Sheen used it as a hashtag, unfortunately, at some point. But he's looking to win, and he looks for winning issues. How does he win? He fires up a voter base by whatever means necessary or feasible. And if it just so happens to be racial, great. If it so happens to be the news media, great. If it so happens to be Democrats in Congress, that's wonderful. So I am not, now how do I say this delicately? It's not, to me, just racism. It is an issue of opportunism. And it doesn't matter who's in the way or who gets steamrolled at the time. I'm not disputing racist tones in all of this. I'm just simply saying it is almost simplistic to say it's racism because it's far broader than that.
Well, and you brought up the racial tones. I mean, I agree. There's some of this stuff is racial tones, and I'll get to that in a second. But I would make an argument. You're to a point, you're right. I mean, I think we're going to deviate a little bit. When 60 to 70% of what he's doing is race baiting, and trying to race bait his white supporters into, you know, vote for me because I'm against the black guy, or I'm against the Latino, or I'm against the Mexican. That seems to be, and I would say that that's probably the ratio, that most of the times he's doing this stuff, 60 to 70% of it, there is a racial, an undeniable racial undertone. There are racial tones which are auxiliary, secondary, tertiary elements of his arguments. But when you tie it into stuff, and I know you've seen the stories, 1,500 kids from immigrants at the border were yanked away from their parents, and the federal government has no idea where these kids are at. There's no reclaiming these kids, and PBS's Frontline actually did a story showing that some of these kids did indeed end up in the hands of human traffickers. You have the Puerto Rico story. Harvard comes out with their study that the BBC's put out that basically says 64 people didn't die in Puerto Rico. 4,600 people died in Puerto Rico due to Hurricane Maria. That the racial undertones, when they do ooze into non-racial issues, generally have these ungodly consequences, which, frankly, you know, make, you know, regardless whether it was racial or not, it becomes racial.
I mean, there are certain laws. Let's go way back even. You can go back to the post-Civil War times when laws were enacted that were facially neutral, but were discriminatory in practice, and they were very carefully written so that they would have a disparate impact on certain races. But when you'd read it, facially it isn't. Well, you have to have a statute. This is the lawyer talking. You have to have a statute that is not only facially neutral, but neutral in its outcome and in its implementation. And so it's the same sort of thing here. It may look neutral on the surface, but you don't have to dig too deeply to see that it is hitting people at an era, at an area that they may not even realize. Now let me separate hood-wearing Klans members, okay, we pretty much know where they're at, from folks who have biases that they don't even realize. For example, as a lawyer, I would go into court, and let's say I had a Hispanic defendant. My client was a Hispanic, and I have a fully Caucasian jury in a rural area of Iowa. It was not uncommon. I mean, this happened multiple times. If I said to the jurors, the prospective jurors, trying to help them, trying to figure out to get a fair trial, if I say to the jurors, how many of you are racist? Nobody's going to raise their hand. If I say, how many of you look down upon Latinos or Latino Americans? No one would raise their hand. But if I would say, how many of you think the community is not as good as it used to be, is not as safe as it used to be, is not as whatever as it used to be, I'd get hands that would pop up. Because it's so deeply buried within some people, they would pass a lie detector denying it. And so this is why it's so insidious, so much of this. Overt racism is easy.
Mm-hmm.
It is the subtle stuff that really causes an issue. And so this is where you get to code. Why did you vote for Trump? Well, I liked, you know, his leadership or whatever phrase might be used. Well, but that's what you hear, correct?
Yeah.
You know,
well, they say is he's going to make America great again. That vague statement, he's just going to make it. And when you'd ask them, what do you mean by that? They'd say, well, he's going to make it great again. And they have no answer.
That's it. Yes. Right. No, that's exactly, you hit the point exactly. It's exactly the point where they're like, you know, they can't articulate it, but it's a feeling. And again, that's the more insidious, problematic stuff.
Well, and let me also, if I can extrapolate on this a little bit.
Sure.
There was a lot of Republicans, I think, who watched movies where we portrayed presidents as African-Americans saying, hey, I'm fine with it. It's in the movies. And then all of a sudden, one day they woke up and Barack Obama was the president of the United States. And much like the dad who's told his daughter, you date anyone you want to, and all of a sudden his daughter comes home with an African-American kid, all of a sudden they realize there's this underlying racism they never realized was still there, but now is staring what? Them in the face. And that was the age. And as you said, I mean, what has happened is Trump has come on in and seized on that. Not we you know, that and part of this was Fox News and right-wing media going out there and insisting life is so much worse now. It's so much worse. And you know why? Black guy in the White House. And now, and Roseanne is kind of the consummate example of this. What you've got is the real legacy of Trump is he makes people feel like he's enabling them to share this. You don't have to keep this racism down deep inside anymore. We are getting rid of political correctness. And if you want to call an African-American person an ape, you can. And they do. And then all of a sudden the world comes crashing back at them. And the arguments, what have been the arguments to defending Roseanne Barr after this horrendous comment? It's PC culture. ABC owes Trump an apology. It wasn't fair. The reality was it was completely fair. It shocked me. It took me as long as they did to fire her, because would you have not gotten rid of Hitler when he called all Jews animals because he was what, on Modern Family, for God's sakes?
There was a great article, I think, that CNN had generated, and I saw similar things other places that did the timeline. And truly, this is a time zone situation where it's hitting in the east. Well, okay.
Never thought about that. You're right. I bet you're exactly right.
Because what they had to do was the suits in New York had to wait for the suits in California to wake up, and then they started talking, and then, so the mere fact that she was gone by noon Central time, and she may have been in Hawaii of all things, okay, so the fact that it actually got done by mid-morning on the West Coast, that, you know, it was swift, and so there was never a defense for it. And this stuff about Ambien tweeting, you know, I thought Ambien was supposed to make you sleep, you know, I mean, and again, now let's go even further into areas that I have no experience and knowledge in, but isn't it true that when you're under the influence of certain stimulus, like alcohol or drugs, you know, people say, oh, I was just drunk or whatever. Isn't that supposedly like your more truer self coming out? So this is why. This is just, you know, this is bad at so many levels, okay? Here's what I found bad, especially bad. I was stunned by this. I'm not stunned by Trump today. The fact that he restrained himself last night and didn't say something at that rally in Tennessee is the surprising thing.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by what he said today. Shouldn't have been said, but let's forget that. It was the certain talk show hosts who were posting on Twitter yesterday something like, well, now we're going to have to be held accountable for the race of whoever we want to talk about. That's ridiculous. I had no idea Valerie Jarrett was African American. Are you kidding me? I mean, if you are a public affairs, current affairs talk show host, and you did not know in detail who Valerie Jarrett was, how important she was to the Obama administration as a counselor to the president, as a counselor and friend to the First Lady, as somebody who lived in the White House during most of the Obama years. If you don't know all of that and now are saying, well, we had no idea she was African, shut up. I mean, this is the same person they probably criticized up one side and down the other for 8 years, and now, well, we had no idea. So you can't say it's racist. I didn't know what race she was. Just shut up.
Yeah.
When you try to compare someone with an ape, there's no other way to put that together.
How about Roseanne Barr saying, well, Muslim's not a race? It's like, okay, the Muslim anti-Islamophobia stuff was bad enough, but, you know, I'm glad she's gone. Tell you what, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask about the real problem in America right now, which is not the executive branch, it's the legislative branch. And is that changing? We'll talk about that when we do return. Jeff Stein joining us right now, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
Are you trying to live stream on Facebook, on YouTube? Tired of no one watching your videos? Well, whether you're a beginner or a veteran, you can have better results. Hi, it's Mike McEntee with The Uptake. We're famous for our live streaming of thousands of events that are watched by millions. I want to help you live stream video like a pro for your cause, your group, or your company. I'm teaching a class on June 9th where you'll learn how to use your phone or a professional camera to deliver the best live experience for your audience. I'll teach you how to attract an audience and how to keep reaching that audience when you're no longer live. Find out what platform works best for what you're trying to do. Sign up now at theuptake.org/classes. Space is limited. Go to theuptake.org/classes to sign up for this June 9th class. There's a $70 charge, but there's a discount for students and low-income people. That's theuptake.org/classes to learn how to live stream like a pro.
It's Ryobi Days at the Home Depot, where the best prices on Ryobi tools come out to play. Like a Ryobi One Plus Battery Kit 2-Pack, just $99. Two high-performance batteries, a charger, bag, plus your choice of a free select cordless Ryobi One Plus tool from the world's largest 18-volt tool system. And you can't beat free. Ryobi Day Savings, in-store or online at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through June 20th at participating stores. Claim based on stem pack style batteries. See store for details and product exclusions.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us for his usual Wednesday visit. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Jeff, the guys like Trump actually were predicted, not only by the founding fathers, but as time has gone on, we've actually had put rules into place that if someone is incompetent or is using the White House for their own personal gain or possibly attain the White House through meddling of a foreign government, we actually have processes in place to remove that person. The problem necessarily isn't Trump, per se, although that's that downplaying him. It's the legislative branch whose job it is to monitor the executive branch, and they have not only foregone their responsibility to the taxpayers, they are basically enabling Trump. Although I'm starting to wonder if that is turning. Trey Gowdy's points, he was one of the few Republicans that went into this supposed Spygate meeting, and his tone in the interview he did with Fox News saying the FBI was 100% correct in what they did in, you know, using an informant to approach members of the Trump campaign. The fact that he was so strong against knocking down this argument from Trump is one thing. And now this war against Sessions is really ramping up to where he's, you know, Trump actually came out last night and said, or was it early this morning? I wish I hadn't picked Jeff Sessions as my attorney general. If Sessions goes, your thoughts, if Sessions goes, how much will that reverberate with the Republican Party?
Well, you know, the Trump supporters don't like Sessions because he recused himself. And what the president said is nothing different than what he said in March on the same topic, but he's now come back to it.
Yeah.
A lot of this is the smokescreen, if you will, because if he's talking about how he should have had a different attorney general and if Sessions had done his job, blah, 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 what he's doing is what he always does, which is to cast doubt upon the process. So in other words, by saying we never should have had this investigation, he is minimizing the legitimacy of the investigation and thereby minimizing the legitimacy of whatever comes out of it. And so he's setting it up, right? He's setting up for an outcome that he's not going to like. And so he'll say, well, see, I've said all along this was bogus. As far as how Republicans will feel if Sessions is out, there are a lot of the folks who drank the Trump Kool-Aid long ago, and they've not been pleased with Sessions. Sessions isn't going to go anywhere. He is not going to leave. And partly it's because if you avoid considering anything about Russia collusion investigations, et cetera, he is doing in the office a lot of the things that he has wanted to do or have done that he couldn't get done as a senator. So he's behind the scenes doing an awful lot of things on immigration, et cetera, that he wants to do. And so to him, it's worth it because, what's the worst thing that can happen? The president fires him. Well, he's seen many go. So this is not a big deal. And he's just going to get in as many licks as he can on the things he cares about in the meantime, because he obviously doesn't mind being the convenient punching bag.
Well, and you had said last year, you had came on one of the shows, and you had mentioned that you felt like Sessions, if he got rid of Sessions, this is back when Reince Priebus and the rest of some of the Republican mainstream was in there, you felt as if that if he tried to get rid of Sessions, that would turn a lot of Republicans. You now think that a lot of Republicans would ignore that?
I think that it's bigger than that or different than that because, for example, he would not be the first to go, as might have been the case last year when we talked about it. He's going to be like the 10th to go. You know, it's just they've just gotten immune to this, and they're more focused on how is this all going to play for 2018. So in other words, I don't think they're jumping off the presidential bandwagon because of the fact the election is coming right up and there's not enough time to pivot away from him and run against him as a Republican, because that's the alternative at this point.
I would garner that is election day is November 6th, right?
It sounds right. Sure.
My guess is going to be regardless of what the outcome of that election is, November 7th, Sessions is gone. Because you're right. They can't give that. If they got rid of Sessions before then all of a sudden it creates a mess for this election. So the goal is to keep him on board until the 7th, then can him, and then basically, either put up the fortress around the White House or basically, try to ride it out until 2020.
And it is November 6th. Well, and here's the thing. You know, I have said, I don't know how many times, because I believe it.
About 20 seconds, though.
Okay, Trump needs an opponent. Sometimes it's the press, and sometimes it's his own officials. So he needs Sessions. I don't think he wants to get rid of him.
He does make a stooge. That's true. That's what he does. Jeff Stein, once again, find his books at Common Good Books and TotallyIowa.com with Spotlight this one. Jeff, thank you very much. We'll get the Iowa Politics Report up a little bit later on. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt.
Take care. Jeff Stein joining us for his usual Wednesday visit. Mike McEntee is up next. Thank you very much for being here. We are back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.